Welcome to Learn It From a Layman. I'm Carl Christensen. I'm here with my brother, Matt Christensen. And despite our best efforts, Tim Cox is also present.
23 and me wins out. You guys are related.
And we will be talking today about the 10 worst ways to die in nature, which sounds gripping. So, Tim, take it away.
Many of these are gripping, indeed. Some in more gripping ways than others. All right. So, gentlemen, here's the plan. I'm going to list for you in no certain order 10 ways to die in nature. You guys can discuss and talk about which ways you think would be the worst to die. Put them in your order, and then I will give you the actual correct order, which is very objective, of course.
Sure. I have metrics for this. Do I have a rubric? Because you're a teacher.
That's right.
So. That's what you
yes.
do.
Yes. Wonderful things. All right. So here you go. You can die by... And by the way, just to clarify, this is not necessarily you dying in nature, but anything dying in nature. So what is just the worst way for a creature to go? And I suggest as we talk these through that you kind of imagine yourself as this creature kind of maybe sitting down at the dinner table and then all of a sudden, wham, being a victim of a certain way of dying and, you know, just to kind of get a real visceral feel for, you know, the experience. All right. So here's what we've got. Penguin dying by a leopard seal. We've got praying mantis male dying by praying mantis female. Bug dying by a water pitcher plant. Bug dying by a parasitic wasp. We've got big cat attack. Octopus attack. Horse conch, like a you know, cephalopod and oceanic snail.
They're from Men in Black.
Oh, that's, you know, that's on the list. Almost made the cut, but not quite. Swarm baked by bees, fledgling Arctic fox, and I think that's 10. Is that 10?
I have no idea.
So it's 10 enough. 10 enough for us. So discuss.
So fledgling an Arctic fox.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So a fledgling bird dying by Arctic fox.
Okay.
Most of these are just being consumed. I don't know if...
But how?
Is there a particular method that the Arctic fox uses that makes its consumption of a bird more objectionable than...
I mean, does it, like, vomit on it first and then eat it? Fox?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, some of these I would be more like method versus no method. You know, that's... Some ways of dying in nature aren't so bad because the killer is pretty effective and efficient, but sometimes the killer isn't because it doesn't bother to be. So,
Okay. So I think that we also need more specifics about big cat, because if we're talking about a large house cat,
pretty bad way to die in nature.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick that. I mean, that would really be more. Depressing and sad than like
let's painful. Just go with tiger, because you know, they're like one of the only ones that actually actively preys on humans, so there you go. That'll help to make it more vivid.
All right,
now from I guess part of this depends on your philosophy regarding death. You see death as something where you want to have a chance to escape, and even though it's a terrifying struggle, there's still a possibility to get out? Or do you see death as something that is more terrifying because of the sudden nature in which it can strike inescapably?
And then there's the issue of pain, you know, is...
Well, pain is always bad, but, you know, If a tiger pounces on you, you're pretty much done for. Where if a Arctic fox pounces on you, you might have a chance.
You have a chance, right.
Yeah. But it's going to be a terrifying struggle. So, I don't know.
I think... Okay, go ahead.
Say, actually, the Arctic fox and fledgling, that's kind of, I'd say you probably got a better chance as a human against a tiger than a fledgling against an Arctic fox.
Oh, that might be fair. So we'll say the fledgling and the Arctic fox versus, say, the tortoise pouncing on a human, where, yeah, the tortoise is there and gnawing on you, but you might get away from it if you're quick.
Oh, my big toe.
That's all right along the big house cat variety. I mean, I do think that it's important to take into consideration what would be most impressive, right? I mean, if you're going to go, might as well be in a, you know, flaming ball of, you know, glory. So, you know, a tiger taking you out sounds impressive. Where, you know.
Yeah, but at some level, I don't know. This is actually, even before we started this idea, I had a couple life goals. And one of my major life goals was actually a death goal, and it was not to be killed by nature, because that means nature won.
This is a bad list for you, then, because literally all of them are bad.
Yeah. So either way here, I lose. It's just, you know, how badly do I lose? I mean, the stupid tiger.
I think that's got to be the best way to die in nature, is what I'm saying.
See, in the end, the bottom of the list, you know, even if nature doesn't get to actively kill you, she'll still send her minion worms to consume your flesh. So, you know.
Yeah, but at least nature wasn't able to pull it off on its own.
That's right. It needed an assist. Oh, speaking of, I forgot to put in worm parasite. That's the number 10 on the list. It's not number 10, but it's on the list. You guys were working before with 9. Now you got 10.
Okay.
I think that's throwing down the trump card.
So I guess with the tiger, another benefit of going out to that stupid thing is that you're maybe feeding an endangered species, I guess.
Oh, that's true. You could, feel good about yourself and at the end being like, well, yeah, good for you, Tony.
Yeah.
Okay,
One other thing here. So the list that I'm looking at has a lot more than 10 items on it. Was that?
So update your list. I just pasted it, and it's at the top.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay, so I think we need to do some type of ordering.
I lost all my ranking.
Matt and I do, because so far it's...
Well, this discussion is important to frame
that's
the
true.
Problem. Yeah.
That's true. Well... I think we haven't had any discussion of the size of the pain, though, right? Like, as if you're getting taken down by a tiger, if you're human, tigers don't mess around with small animals, right? Small animals have to hurt less when they die, right? Like, the total amount of pain that a small animal can feel, like, there aren't enough nerve endings in a small animal to, like, cause as much pain as, like, a large animal?
Well, to administer those words of comfort to the next fledgling that I see getting devoured by an
fox. That's right. Don't worry. It's not as bad for you.
You'd be in way more pain right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk to a short person who's like going through excruciating surgery or something, like, don't worry, you have fewer nerve endings.
Yeah. So we should probably, highlight that argument for expectation management for anyone listening to these going forward. This is the quality of argument that we'll bring in forward.
Good. Well, we set expectations early, and then we clear the bar from there on out. So
in essence, the way that you would rank this list is by size of prey animal.
Exactly. So we start with the praying mantis, all right? Because we don't even know if bugs have feelings, all right?
They don't.
All right. So what is a water pitcher plant? I mean...
It's like a Venus flytrap, except it's a water pitcher instead, and it kills bugs by trapping them and slowly digesting them over 1,000 years. It's basically the Sarlacc from Star Wars, but bugs.
But real.
But yeah, I'd put this at the best way to die list, because it is bugs, and bugs are... I hate bugs.
Right. So, but if you're the bug, would it be a good way to die?
If I was a bug, I would deserve it, and I would not complain about it. And because I don't have many nerve endings, I wouldn't feel a thing.
Exactly.
Because I'm a soulless bug, I don't feel things. Stupid bugs.
All the caterpillars in the world sighed and sorrow.
You know what? Caterpillars are horrible bugs that find their way into your fresh green produce that you buy from Costco and make you really angry.
You know, that's a good point.
Beautiful butterflies, we can have a separate discussion. But for caterpillars, yeah, they can all go drown themselves in all the water pitcher plants in the world.
Stupid caterpillars. So personal.
Really? Yeah.
A caterpillar must have been Matt's reason for, you know, nightmares as a child or something.
Actually, I wasn't going to say this because, you know, people are going to be listening to this, but the caterpillar is actually Matt's spirit animal. I think he resents it.
All right.
You get eaten by a fledgling leopard fox or whatever.
I'm going to start my ranking. So I think the worst way to die in nature has got to be swarm baked by bees.
What does that actually mean? We haven't talked about this one.
Oh, okay. So there are wasps that prey on bees.
Yes.
And interesting, because wasps are here on the list both as the prey and the predator. But the bees have a defense where they will swarm the wasp and they like just get all over the wasp and then like move their bodies real fast, generating heat. And they will overheat the wasp until it dies. And so you're basically, if you can imagine,
so
being
they literally snuggle the wasp.
You know, a snuggle of death. That's right. It's lovingly fatal.
Well, this one is hard because the severity of the pain and the sadness that the wasp feels, if a wasp could feel, and it can't because it's a stupid wasp, would really depend on whether or not it finds any of the bees attractive. Like, are they lady bees? Are they attractive lady bees? Is it just a bunch of dude bees? Does that matter to the wasp?
Well, and as it turns out, they are a bunch of dude bees because the only lady bee is the queen bee, and wasp isn't going to get close.
Is it a female wasp? I guess we're verging on not going family friendly.
Are the bees the persona of Cary Grant? You know, darling, get out of my hive.
You know, bees are a lot less streamlined than a wasp, so I guess I would see this as a bunch of... you know, the human analog would be a large number of large people just putting their bodies on you until you overheat and die from that.
There you go.
When you think about it like that, it does sound pretty horrible. But again, you have to remember that this is a wasp without a soul.
That's true.
And without mercy and without pity and without sympathy. And I hate it.
Yeah, I changed my mind. That's... getting cuddled to death doesn't really sound that bad.
No.
All right, so re-ranking for me. Okay, I got worm parasite now number one. Got to be number one. Because what worse combination of words and ideas can you have than a worm parasite?
Worm parasite death.
Right, but...
Okay. I don't know. Again, in the interest of remaining family-friendly, we should probably leave that question hanging open.
It's a rhetorical, Matt.
I would probably put that as near the top, although parasitic wasp would be pretty close.
Now,
wait, what?
Well, I was going to say, Tim keeps on giving caveats as to, like, swarm baked by a bee sounded pretty bad to me until he told me that the wasp was the thing getting baked by bees. In which case, I have no interest in that being number one on my list.
It's amazing, but you have to step outside and, like, imagine you were in that situation. So, yeah, you can hate a wasp, but that's still a bad way to go, you know?
The instant that I bring myself to empathize with a wasp is the instant I renounce my humanity forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I draw the line at empathizing with invertebrates.
That's right. So going back to these wretched creations of and their invertebratedness, What's the deal with the parasitic wasp?
Okay, so there are parasitic wasps that, well, actually, there's a whole bunch. It's crazy. There's like, you get, you know, all these different, like, species of insects, like beetles, and each one will have a particular species of wasp that is a parasite for it. And so the wasp will basically, so a female wasp will land on this bug, say a beetle or whatever, and inject its eggs into it, and then the eggs will develop inside this bug for a long time, and in many instances they'll actually like turn the bug into a kind of like zombie, where its behavior will change and it will do crazy weird things that that lead to its death, but also protect the developing larva, who then consume the bug from the inside out and then break out in a kind of, you know, nasty, made for movie perfect scene of, you know, yes, insect violence,
like the chest burster from Aliens.
There you go. Yeah,
so I'm sorry, but this actually sounds awesome. I'm glad parasitic wasps are out there.
You would like to go that way, huh?
So you mentioned that there are different species of wasps that target specific species of bugs.
Yeah, and in fact, they're
own bioweapon.
Yeah, it's so there are like discussions in the entomological world where, so beetles are, you know, kicked around as one of the most
fancy words like entomological.
That's right. Sorry. Bless me.
We don't appreciate that type of language here.
I'm sorry. Family friendly.
That's right.
Right.
Cut that in the editing room.
All right. So apologizing to our audience, we will try to remain layman here.
So, but beetles are, you know, kicked around in discussion is, you know, is this the most diverse group of animals, like types of animals in the world, because there's just so many beetles and they're everywhere. But then, you know, one entomologist points out, he says, yeah, but for every species of beetle, there is a species of wasp that preys on it. And so he argues that, you know, parasitoid wasps are the most, you know, common type of animal on the planet. But anyways, so there's a lot, and they're not very well known. Like I think there's still a lot that need to be studied and whatnot.
Well, all right, points for being a horrific way to die, but again, it loses points because it's taking out bugs, and bugs are the worst. So
yeah, a lot of these are bug based and clearly Tim has some type of bug fetish, which is disturbing.
There's just a lot of bugs out there, okay? Yeah. You know, there's more ways to die as a bug than as anything else, because there's more bugs.
Yeah, still. Nature is terrible sometimes.
No kidding. That's why bug. I stay in my house.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah, I didn't understand why getting swatted by, like, a fly swatter wasn't on here.
Because that's an awesome way to die. It's a testament of man's victory over bugs. It's sad that we have to make a big deal about it, except we don't, which is why it's not on this list.
Right. Okay, we're up against the end of the episode, Tim, so you need to give us the ranking, and then we need to sign off.
What? All right. You guys didn't even rank all of them.
Well, that's because they weren't worth ranking, but go ahead.
Wait, all can right. we edit this down? I want to have a try at this, actually, fast. Oh.
All right, all go. Right.
Okay, so number one is worm parasite, because I'm assuming this can take down any size animal, creature, whatever thing. And this one effectively means that you lose to a bug, which is just the absolute worst thing that can happen.
Hear, hear.
A fine choice.
So number two, sorry, I'm typing. Number two, I think, has to be the big cat because, yeah, getting mauled to death by a tiger, again, it's an instance where man can lose, and I hate when that can happen. So
yeah, that's got to be a little bit like getting cuddled to death as well.
I suppose so. Number three would be, to me, the leopard seal. You know, I'm not a huge fan of penguins, but just the fact that a leopard seal, which is cute and fluffy and fuzzy, can end a life that is also cute and fluffy and fuzzy. It's the bitter irony that puts it so high on the list. All right. Number four, I actually just want to ask a quick question. This is octopus versus fish, right?
Or say crab.
Okay. All right. Actually, that's going to drop a little bit because fish are only slightly higher than bugs in the do they have feelings spectrum.
I think it's still open biological question as to whether fish are bugs.
So. Yeah, but according to Korn, regardless, they don't have feelings.
Okay.
It's true. You don't think about it. People get all upset about, you know, killing, like, you know, mammals and, you know, bunnies and stuff, which, you know, I get, poor bunnies. But yeah. Fish, you can just yank that out on a line and slap it on a rock. It's like,
actually, that upset me.
Nobody cares about fish.
Anyway, so number four is the fledgling and the Arctic fox, because, again, you have a cute thing being killed by a cute thing, and it's sad. Although it's a little bit lower than the leopard seal in the terribleness, because, you know, you do think of the fox as a predator and foxes got to eat. So it's not as bad as a fluffy seal taking down a fluffy penguin. That's just like something out of, that's a nightmare. Anyway, and now, unfortunately,
I saw a picture.
We get to the octopus, number five. Or fish. I don't know. Maybe, like, if an octopus grabbed onto an otter and ate that, that would be a little worse. But I don't know. Anyway, five is octopus. Six, we'll go with the horse conch, because we're just barely above bugs at this point.
I mean, if you have the conch, though, aren't you in charge?
You are the conch.
Dignify right? That response. Remember, we're talking about learning from a layman. And you
Confusing
yourself with someone Dang who's it. Cultured and has okay. read Heart of Darkness, or possibly that other book that they made this since episode about.
Don't be silly, Matt. That's right. Crime and Punishment.
Anyway, so six, horse conch. Seven is the water pitcher plant, and even though it's a bug dying, it rates highly because it's a plant taking the stupid bug out. So way to go, plant. Eight, I'm going to say, is the parasitic wasp. Again, killing a stupid bug, but doing it in the most gruesome manner I can imagine. Nine would be the swarm baked by bees, and that's just funny and also lame if you're a wasp and you get killed by cuddling. And then 10, on this end of the spectrum, is the praying mantis, because the praying mantis only dies after breeding, and it serves it right. And so, yeah, I am totally okay with praying mantises dying.
Or is it praying manti?
Mantis?
As a layman, I wouldn't know.
Praying manatees.
Let's clarify here.
Okay,
learning from a layman.
Praying manatees, then that moves straight up to number one, because everybody loves manatees. And if they're engaging in, you know, prayer and getting run over by leopard seals on powerboats, that's... That'd probably be the first way to die.
I think you had just invented the next Saturday morning cartoon.
Excellent. All right. So that's my list of how it should be. How did you have it, Tim?
Well, that's how it should be, but here's how it is. All right. We'll go in reverse order. So starting in at number 10, Big Cat. And here's why. Because even though it would be terrifying to get, like, you know, pounced, you know, stalked and pounced by a tiger, they're actually really effective killers. You know, they latch onto your neck and, like, choke you out before they, you know, eat you. And so at least you're not being feasted on as you die. And so while terrifying, it's relatively quick and relatively painless.
Yeah, but you have so many nerve endings.
That's right. Just hope they're not centered around the neck. All right. Number nine is
you mean where the spine is and where all the nerve endings come together?
I should clarify, the throat.
Anyway.
All right, number nine, praying mantis. And yeah, this stinks. Being cannibalized by by the mother of your children is kind of rough. But also, it's relatively fast and, you know, I don't know. It still kind of stinks because praying mantis, unlike the big cats, doesn't, you know, kill you before it starts to eat you alive. So that's upsetting. All right. I've got in at number 8, fledgling and Arctic fox. So because, you know, fledglings, like, they're just taking flight for the first time, and it's an act of hope and wonder, you know, as they try to make it out to the open sea and then landing just a bit short on the shoreline, only to get come up behind by an Arctic fox that just yanks you and drags you away and actually buries you to feed to her young at a later time. That's a bummer.
Are you buried alive?
I don't know if they're buried alive or if the Arctic fox kills it. So that's a good question. That could affect its ranking.
Yeah.
But in any case, I don't think the Arctic fox kills it right away. It like just grabs it and drags it off. So fledgling has plenty of time to think about how this is not what's supposed to be happening right now. Number 7, worm parasite. And of course, this depends on the parasite. We'll use as an example worm and cricket, which this is kind of fun and also horrifying. So the worms develop inside the cricket, and then once they've reached maturity, they control the cricket and cause it to jump into water and drown itself. And that's so that the worm can then, you know, send out like eggs into the water that and multiply, you know, reproduce. So it's one of a couple examples on the list of being killed by actually having your mind manipulated and causing you to, you know, to destroy your own self.
That's actually much cooler than I thought.
But yeah, again, it's bugs.
Yeah, I do have a personal vendetta against crickets because they invade my house every year, and that's not cool, but...
Yeah, they're ugly. They're like cockroaches, but noisier.
That's right. All right, so let's see, what number are we at now? We are at number 7. Oh, 6. Swarm baked by bees. Yeah, because just imagine being like covered by a swarm of bugs. That's pretty horrifying. And then you're baked to death alive. Also horrifying. I don't think it happens fast, so that's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's a bad way to go. Number 5 is water pitcher plant, because, you know, talk about slow death. You fall into a pool of water that gradually dissolves and digests you right where you sit. That is horrifying.
Hey, then again, deal with it. Sorry.
And at least it's peaceful, you know. You get to kind of relax and enjoy the, you know, the sound of other bugs being digested next to you. All right. Number 4 is horse conch. And this is actually, so the horse conch, it's like a large conch, and it preys on smaller snails, I suppose, among other things. But so it'll like chase a snail down and just kind of run it over and then just kind of, you know, digest it. It's, you know, puts it just basically absorbs the whole thing into its body. So you can imagine being caught in like this big chase and being run down by this giant creature that just kind of envelops you like the blob and then eats you alive while you're inside. When the conch is done digesting the snail, all that it spits out is the empty shell, snail shell of the now consumed snail. So, yeah. All right, number 3 is a leopard seal and the penguin. And this is mostly because of the manner of death. There's lots of predators out there that hunt down their prey. But it, at least with something like a great white shark, it, you know, let's say grabbing a fish, it'll just grab the fish, chomp it, and swallow it, you know. But with the leopard seal, it, you know, can't swallow a penguin whole or in the water, you know. You can't, like, brace it against the ground or anything. So the way that a leopard seal, after it catches a penguin, the way that it will eat it is to just grab a hold of it and violently shake its head back and forth until the piece that it's holding tears away from the rest of the body. So you can't, that bad way to go, you know.
Talk about you know, head trauma. We got some concussion studies. You know,
In fact, the head is like the only part of the body I think that's left kind of untouched. You look at the remains afterwards. It's like this kind of penguin skeleton with a head still attached. It's pretty gruesome. So,
so people look at the remains afterwards?
You know, documentary film people, crews. What else are you going to do in the Antarctic? You know. Anyways, number two, octopus. And this for kind of the same reason. The octopus has all those suckers, and when it preys on a crab, uses those suckers to grasp it, and then it like kind of just tears the thing apart and eats it. Again, no last rites, no... you know, no kindness in killing it before you just go right at it. And it's got a, you know, it's razor sharp beak that it uses to, you know, get into the crab. But so if you can imagine being, you know, grasped, torn apart, and then, you know, chopped up by a sharp beak, you know, alive, that's it. All right. And number one, parasitic wasp, because, you know, I don't know, take your pick. All of those are at least somewhat natural, but parasitic wasps, it's crazy. So they can make their prey do all sorts of things. There's spiders that they'll basically cause the spider to, instead of spinning a web, the spider will create a line, and then it will so while the wasp is growing inside and feeding on the spider is building just a line so that the wasp can create like a cocoon and finish growing, like basically making it a house. And then there's the wasp that preys on ladybugs, and it will turn the ladybug into a zombie. And as the wasp eats its way out and builds a cocoon, then the ladybug actually stays and defends the cocoon without eating or tending to its own needs. And so, yeah, all pretty horrifying. But also fascinating, but I would definitely pick this as not the way for me to die. So there you go. That's your number one.
Is that because you're a ladybug?
Less of lady and more of bug for me.
Clearly, as demonstrated by this list.
You know, I know it's kind of, kind of leaning towards invertebrates. I guess six of the top seven are invertebrates, but there's just so many crazy ways, you know, bigger animals. There's not as many exciting ways to die. You just get like chomped and then they bleed you out or suffocate you or, you know, tear you apart. But yeah, bugs.
More nerve endings, Tim. All right. So
that's right. You guys want to hear the runner-up list real quick?
No.
All right, yes. Good. Deathcap mushroom. Being drowned by killer whales, which is kind of like being like jumped, but in the ocean. Shoebill is actually a real bummer of a way to go. I should say shoebill's sibling. So it's a shoebill is a kind of it's a marsh bird in Africa, and parents will only raise one chick, but a lot of times they'll have two eggs in the net. So what happens is the egg that hatches first usually is a bit bigger, or it gets the first feeding, and then when the second egg hatches, the first chick will like harry it and bully it and just attack it. The chick will start to kind of waste away as the other chick hogs all the food. And then eventually the older sibling just shoves it out of the nest where it dies. So you can imagine being killed by your older sibling as an infant.
That almost happened to me.
No, it didn't.
That's right. Not quite successful, were you, Matt?
Cameron threatened to be more directly. So, all right. Well, that was disturbing. And
I feel like we need like a cheerful end song to kind of pick everyone's spirits up after that.
So, yeah, let's end up by Matt describing Bunny Island for all the young and other generally self-loving people that are now feeling sad and depressed.
But speaking of Bunny Island and depressing, do you know that they now have video of snowshoe hares feeding on, like, grouse and other animals in the Arctic? Kind of chilling.
Is Tim still talking?
I don't know. Anyway, so
all right.
As we all know, war is bad for nature, except when it's not, and it actually helps nature quite a bit. If you go to the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, in between the rows of landmines, you will find an absolutely flourishing ecosystem completely devoid of man's influence, other than the landmines. But it is almost a natural paradise where you have all this plant growth, all these animals, and man will absolutely not interfere with that area, because if they do, they will immediately be blasted to smithereens. Similarly, near the end of World War II, there was a Japanese research facility in the Pacific that was abandoned when the Japanese were retreating and pulling out. The research facility had some rabbits. The researchers released the rabbits, and then they got on the boat, leaving the rabbits behind.
The rabbits.
Yes, with no natural predators. Now, how did this affect the balance of nature on the island? I don't know. I don't care. What I care about is that that island is now a tourist attraction where you can go there and immediately be swarmed by thousands of nearly domesticated rabbits that just want to come and say hi and swarm you and kill you with their body heat.
I was going to say, this sounds like another way to go in nature. Death by bunny.
Yeah, if you look up the Rabbit Island, you can see pictures of it, and it's just a little paradise for bunnies running around out there in the Pacific. So if you want to escape the horrible ways that all of the bugs in nature can die, there you go. Head over to the Rabbit Island.
Go cuddle with some bunnies and you'll forget how parasitic wasps exist.
Woot.
And now time for our sponsored plug. Netflix has just released a new adaptation of Watership Down. So, go watch it.
Tim's list brought to you by Honey Nut Cheerios. you'll never see our mascot the same.
Yeah. All right. We should sign off before the incident.
All right. Signing off. Thanks, guys. We will end this episode with a reminder to come back with next week. We're going to be talking about. That is never going to make it as our song. We're going to be talking next week about our the topic of should I eat it and how.
It may have some connections to this current topic.
Yeah, spoiler answer, yes you should, and you should violently fling it around until little parts of it rip off.